أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، ملك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح المغلق والخاتم لما سبق، ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم، وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Today is Friday 27th of Shawwal 1441 after Hijrah, equivalent to 19th of June 2020. Inshallah, today we are going to continue with our lesson on fiqh al-sharia fi al-ibadati and madhhab Imam Malik with the book of Akhdari. Today we are going to look into a new topic, and this topic is almost similar or connected to the previous topic treated. Last week we look into khayda, menstruation. We've looked at the classification of women into three categories. We study the time limits for each category of women concerning haida. We have those that start, we have those that are habitual, and we have the menstrual, the pregnant woman, and we've discussed all that. And also we try to look into things that a woman who is on her menstrual period is not allowed to do. She is not allowed to pray, she is not allowed to fast, and she is not allowed to enter masjid, touch the Quran, do tawaf around the Kaaba, and her husband is not allowed to enjoy with her at that period until she attain purity and perform her ritual bath. So today, inshallah, we are going to look into another new topic, which is faslun fin nifasi. You can open to your text and let's read together. Malam is saying faslun fin nifasi. This topic, our topic for today is nifas, which is confinement. Confinement. Usually, what is this nifas? Definition, they say huwa ad-damu al-kharij inda al-wiladati aw bi sabab al-wilada. It is blood that usually flow due to delivery. Once a woman is giving birth, usually together with the baby comes a blood, or immediately after the baby comes a blood, or also at times together with the baby comes a blood, and that blood will continue coming time to time. It has its own maximum limits, but it does not have limits. Some immediately after the delivery, the blood ceases. So we are going to discuss this blood just like we did for menstrual blood. This is very brief, as it's not much complicated, as it's very similar to menstrual blood in terms of its rulings, its prohibition, its do and don't. So from the book, Malan says وَالنِّفَاسُ كَالْحَيْدِ. The blood of confinement is just like the menstrual blood. فِي مَنْئِهِ. In all what it forbids. What does haida forbid? I mean, what does menstrual blood forbid? It forbids you from performing prayers, forbids you from performing fasting, forbids you from circumambulating around the Kaaba. It forbids you from touching the Quran. It forbids you from entering the masjid and so on. So also this nifas. So kalhaydi fi man'ihi is just like the menstrual blood in terms of its forbids. Wa aktharuhu 60 yawman. The maximum limit of this blood is 2 months or 60 days. It might flow up to 2 months or up to 60 days to be precise. 60 days. But it limits the minimum. It does not have a limit. It does not have a limit. The maximum length is 60 days but does not have a minimum limit. فَإِذَنْ قَطَعَ الدَّمُ قَبْلَهَا. If the blood ceased before 60 days, does that mean you must stay till 60 days? No. فَإِذَنْ قَطَعَ الدَّمُ. If the blood stops قَبْلَهَا before reaching 60 days. وَلَوْ فِي يَوْمِ الْوِلَالَةِ. Even if it is on the day of delivery, even if it is on the day of delivery or an hour after delivery or 2 hours or within the day of delivery, اغتسلت, she should perform her ritual bath. وَسَلَّتْ, and continue with her prayers. فَإِذَا آوَدَهَا الدَّمُ. If blood comes back after she has, maybe after, immediately after she noticed the seizure of the blood, she performed her ritual, but she continued with her salah. After a day, blood comes back, what she should do? So he said, فَإِذَا آوَدَهَا الدَّمُ. If blood comes back or returns to her, فَإِنْ كَانَ بَيْنَهُمَا خَمْسَةَ عَشَرَ يَوْمًا. If the interval between the first blood and the second blood, it's up to 15 days. فَأَكْثَرَ, or more than 15 days. كَانَ السَّانِي حَيْدًا. The second blood that comes back is considered as menstrual blood. So she treats it as menstrual blood. Let's try and understand this statement. If, for instance, after delivery, on the day of delivery, blood ceased, what you are to do is to go and take your ritual bath, continue with your obligations. But after some days, probably 5 days or 10, once it's not up to 15 days, blood returns back to you. You stop your obligation and you continue with your state. You continue noticing that blood and stop all your obligations until that blood ceased. And since it's not the interval between the first and the second, is not up to 15 days, then you continue counting your days. Since that one is 1 day on the day of delivery, then now you continue counting till you reach 60 days if it's prolonged up to that. But if it does not, you continue noticing it once anytime, maybe after 10 days or after a month or after reaching 60 days, then you have reached the maximum limit. Then from henceforth, you perform your ritual bath. After performing your ritual bath, then you continue with all your obligations. And just like haida, like menstruation, you are not going to pay back your miss salah, any prayer you miss at that period due to this flow of this blood, you are not going to pay back. But if unfortunately you miss what's it called, you miss fasting, maybe it's during Ramadan, so you have to count the days you've missed. When you regain back your strength and health after 2 or 1 month, then you can pay back your fasting before the next Ramadan. I hope this will help and we'll understand this. So, but he said, if the interval of the first blood on the day of, for instance, on the day of delivery, the blood ceased, you perform your ritual but continue with your obligation, then you did not observe any blood till after 15 days or after 20 days or the likes. So are you going to continue counting? He said, no, you are not going to continue counting. This second blood that is coming is menstrual blood. So you consider it as menstrual blood, then you observe it, you stop your obligation, continue counting your days until that blood ceased after maybe 3 days, if you are the type that usually observe your menstruation for 3 days or one or two or as the case may be. After it has ceased, you perform your bath, you understand, and after, if there is return of blood again, then you count. Once the interval is not up to 10 or 15 days, then it's still one blood of Haida, it's still blood of menstruation. You understand, it's still blood of menstruation. So this is what we should try and get right. Usually some women do have the problem of thinking that once you've delivered, you have to stay for 60 days. This is not right. Please, we should try and get this right. What makes you to stay up to 6 days is the flow of the blood. If the blood ceases, even if it is on the day of delivery, you continue your obligation. Please, you should not be held responsible for negligence of your ibadah. Your blood has ceased, because I was once told by some women when we are discussing this, they said, if you try that in the community, when your blood ceased on the day of delivery and you are seen performing salah, or then you hear them saying, what has come to you? Where will you be praying on the day of delivery? So even if you try to tell them that your blood has ceased, some people are seeing it as if you've committed something strange, a bizarre thing. So please, is due to the misunderstanding of the concepts. So please, let's understand what makes you stay is what Zico is the flow of the blood. Or even some, like in the Hausa tribe, you hear that even if the blood ceases, they will say you are not going to continue your ibadah hasitai arba'in until you reach 40 days. So I don't know what comes over them or who tells them that. No, please, it's very wrong. It's very, very wrong. So please, once the blood ceases after delivery, after 2 days on the day of delivery, after 4 days, 10 days, you continue with your ibadah, and may Allah make it easy for us. Wa illa, he said, if the blood, the interval between the first and the second blood is not up to 15 days, dhamma ila al-awwal, you should continue counting it as the first blood, as I mentioned earlier. Wa kana min tamamin nifasi, then that blood is the continuation and completion of the
confirming blood, since it's not up to 15 days. So this is the little Malan has stuck on this blood of confirmment, because he has summarized everything by saying when nifasu kal haydi fi man'ihi. Once he told you that blood of confirmment is similar to menstrual blood in all what it forbids, so it has summarized everything. So only the only new thing here is the time limit. In Haida, we have 15 days, maximum of 15 days, but it does not have a minimum. You understand? While for confinement blood, we have 60 days. A woman, if the blood continues, she can stay up to 60 days before she continue her obligation, before her husband will enjoy with her, before she will hold the Quran, before she will enter masjid, before, you understand all that. So that is just the new thing. And whatever you cannot do because of menstruation, you can also not do it due to confinement. So we hope we understand this. Then just to add, it's not in the test, but I consider it's very relevant to us and also our sisters in Islam. So please, let's get right. I want to talk on a sign of seizure of blood. What signs will you see to know that your blood has ceased? Because as I mentioned earlier in one of the lesson, I think far back, I said that at times we do have some problem that women will not notice that their blood has ceased. They are gently waiting, and even they might even sleep up with a salah that they're supposed to have, know that their blood has ceased, and perform salah before, maybe for instance, perform Isha before going to bed. But because they've checked in the evening and they see that yes, the blood is still coming out, so they not knowing that the blood has ceased within before Isha, and they slept up, or even it has stopped, it has ceased while they are asleep. So when they wake up in the morning, they found that it has ceased, then they will just perform their bath and perform Salatul Subih, Salatul Fajr, instead of performing that Salatul Isha, because it's still within time. And even Salatul Maghrib is still within time. You understand? So this, that's why I think is very important we also know this. So lidhuhuri alamatan, for purity, for woman to attain purity, there are two signs for purity. Please, let's know them. There are two signs. First, we have al-jufuf, which is dryness. Dryness, you will notice. Dryness, when you notice dryness, it shows that your maybe the blood has ceased. Then you check. Then the next is walq as-satul bayda, and white discharge. There is white discharge. So these two are the sign of purity. Once you observe either of these, you should know that the blood might have ceased. Then you go immediately and check or perform your ritual bath. So this dryness for jufuf, first, usually dryness, they usually use a tissue paper time to time, even if there is not any flow of blood, or you did not notice any blood on your pad or something that you use. So you can, what's it called? You can use a tissue paper to check. You can insert it very little to notice if you bring it out dried without anything on it. So it is confirming that the blood has ceased. You understand? Or you can use a white hanky. Insert it. Usually white is prepared because it's very sensitive to any other color. So once there is any flow, you can notice. But when you put it and you bring it out dry without any stain, it's telling you that the blood has ceased. You understand? Then the next is Qasatul Bayda, the white discharge. White discharge, usually at the end of menstruation, there is usually a white discharge that is noticed. So that's confirmed. That is a strong confirmation that the blood has ceased. Once you see that white discharge, is a strong, is even stronger than the dryness. So, but as we classified women into three last week, we have the beginner, we have a habitual woman, and also the pregnant woman. So for a starter or a beginner, someone that begins, what she will take as her sign is the dryness. Because for you, for starting, for a beginner, she might not notice any white discharge. So by noticing the dryness is enough for her. She should go and say her prayer. She should go and perform her ritual bath. So dryness, time to time you should be checking and not the seizure of the blood. While for a habitual woman, the Qasatul Bayda, the white discharge, is the strongest sign for her. So also for a habitual woman, when she witnessed the dryness in the first time of prayer, in the first hour of prayer, usually for every prayer we have 3 hours, we have 3 period for each salah. We have waqtul muqtari, we have waqtul daruri, and we have waqtul qada. You understand? We have the right time, the first time of salah, that is from the beginning when the time is. And I think the next lesson is what we are going to talk about, the timing, salah timing. Not this kind of timing we usually find in our mosques now, usually on the campus and other organization, that Salat Zuhri is by 1 or Azan is by 12:55. Then not that timing. During the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is nothing like clock. So they use the what was it called, the natural timing, which is sun. We use the sun to know the right time for salah. Although even that one is also used based on the changing of the sun. So, but not that one. Not to be specific. Not that one, I mean. So usually we have Muqtar. The Muqtar is the right time, is the appropriate, most appropriate time for salah. And also it has interval. It's not just 50 minutes interval. It's not only, at times it might reach up to 2 hours interval. The person that performs salah in, for instance, say 1 o'clock, and the person that perform salah 2:30, they are all within Muqtari. Depending on the weather, depending on the period, depending on the season. Like in the dry season, we have the range might increase or it might reduce. In the Hamatan, the period can decrease. But at times we have 2 hours interval, and all those intervals are within the Muqtari of Zuhur. So also for Isha, we have up to like 4 hours for you to perform Isha in the first hour, and me that perform it 4 hours later, we all perform it within the right hour of Salah. So here, as I'm saying, why I just divert little is that for a habitual woman, when she sees dryness, when she notices dryness in the first hour of Mukhtar, then she should wait a little for, she should not rush and perform her ritual bath, but she should wait for Qasatul Bayda, she should wait for the white discharge. For a habitual woman, when she sees dryness, when she notices dryness, she have inserted the rag or hanky or tissue, and she bring it out, she check like 3 times, she did not see anything showing that yes, it's dry, there is not any flow. So she should wait a little to the end of the hour. By God's grace, our next class will teach us, will tell us the interval between the intervals of the right time for Salah, and also time of Qada, and also time of Daru, inshallah. So, but you should just know, as a habitual woman, since you are, it's your habit that you usually note the flow of Qasa, the white discharge. So when you first notice the dryness in the first period, you should wait a little for Qasatul Bayda till the end of the period. If you did not see the Qasatul Bayda, then you can immediately perform your ritual bath and see you continue with your obligation. But for a beginner, for a starter, this is your first period, or this is your second, or this is your third, you might not see Qasatul Bayda. You might not see the white discharge. You understand? So by noticing the dryness in the first period, you should immediately go and perform your salah, perform your ritual bath, and continue with your obligation. Hope we understand this. And also, it is very important, it is supposed for every woman to be checking on these signs before going to bed and immediately at dawn before Salatul Fajr. Once you are about going to bed, usually maybe after Isha, or maybe around 9 o'clock, 10, 12, at any time you are going into on bed, try and check. Find your hanky and other means, check for the dryness. If you notice dryness, then immediately don't go bed like that. Go and say your go and perform your ritual bath and say that prayer, Salatul Maghrib or Salatul Isha. You understand? So let's try and understand this, please. So also, immediately after you've wake up, you wake up around 3 o'clock, around 4 o'clock, around 5 o'clock before Fajr, then check your check for those signs, Qasatul Bayda wa Jufuf. Jufuf is the dryness. Once you notice that dryness, that means you have to see Salatul Isha and Salatul Salatul Maghrib. But if it is after Fajr, Salatul Fajr, then you just notice this sign, then you are not going to pay back Salatul Maghrib or Salatul Isha. The time has went out. You understand? It has exceeded the time. So now it's time for Fajr. All what you are to do is to perform your ritual bath and say your Salatul Fajr. And if it is after the sun has set, you understand? If it is after the sun has set also, at that time you notice your this sign, then you have to pay back Salatul Az-Zuhri wa Salatul Asri. Please, we should know this. If it is before the sun sets, in the evening before the sun sets, you notice this sign, then you have to pay Salatul Zuhri or Salatul Maghrib. But these two, like before Fajr, if the time when you wake up, the time before Fajr is just the time that will allow you, or after you've immediately when you notice the sign, you went and perform your ritual bath, then now the time that is remaining is only for you, will be only enough for you to perform 2 rak'ah before Fajr set. So what you are to pay is only Salatul Isha, because you will not be able to perform Salatul Maghrib on time. You understand? If the time remaining is only for you to perform a single rak'ah before Fajr, then what you are to pay is Salatul Isha. If it is only 2 rak'ah, what you are to pay is Salatul Isha alone without Maghrib. But if the time remaining will be enough for you to say 4 rak'ah, then you are to pay Salatul Maghrib wa Salatul Isha. Please let's know this also. So also before the sunset, maybe the time remaining will only be enough for you to say 2 rak'ah. Then it's only Salatul Asr that you are going to pay. But if you can say 5 rak'ah, or some say 4 rak'ah, then you can say Salatul Zuhur wa Salatul Asr. And also when you are on journey and you are on period like this, and you notice that you can perform Taymama, and what you are to say, for instance, if all what you the time remaining while you are on journey, the time remaining is enough for you only to say 1 rak'ah before the sunset, then it's only Salatul Asr you are going to pay. But if the time will be enough for you to say 3 rak'ah, get me right, 3 rak'ah, then say your Salat Zuhr. Since you are going to do Qasr, you are going to minimize the rak'ah into 2 because you are on journey. So perform your Taymama and say just 2 rak'ah for Zuhr and 2 rak'ah for Asr. So that one is enough. But if it is only enough for you to say 1 or 2 rak'ah before the sunset, then it's only Asr you are going to you are going to perform. So these are what I want to share also. And also this menstrual blood is very important. It's very important in Islam concerning women and even concerning men. Because when we come to nikah, marriage, you have to know this, because you will not there is what we call idda and istibra. Idda and istibra, and all they are shouldered, or they are shouldered on this menstruation. Idda is the time period a woman stay after a divorcee stay, or a woman or a widow, yes, a woman whose husband has died, or a woman who has been divorced. She has to stay for some stipulated time. Like in the Holy Quran, Allah is saying, وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ 4 أشهر وَعَشَرًا. For those women whose husband has died, she has to stay 4 أشهر for 4 months وَعَشَرًا and 10 days. 4 months, 10 days. 4 أشهر, 4 months and 10 days. So you have to stay for this month. So this is to ensure that you are not pregnant before you can, and it is not allowed for that period for any person to come and date you at that period. It's haram at that period, because you are mourning your husband, you understand, and to ensure that you are free from any pregnancy, so that you won't take another person pregnancy to another person, you understand. So also a divorcee, Allah is saying, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّسْنَا بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء. For a divorcee, she will stay and not. She will stay for the period of 3 menstrual blood. She has to witness 3 menstrual blood. So unlike as some people say 3 months, it's not 3 months. As I said, some women can observe 2 menstrual blood in 1 month. For instance, because if for instance you've witnessed blood today, menstrual blood today, and after 1 or 2 days that blood ceased, and you did not need notice any blood again till after 15 days or above, then that one is considered a new blood, as we've discussed earlier. But if the period is less than 15 days, then it's still the single blood. So for instance, this month you've witnessed blood on the 1st of June, for instance. On the 16th of June or 17th, you notice another blood. That is making 2 bloods. Then after another 15 days, you witness. So you note within 1 month and 1 week, you are done. You finish your idda for divorce. Then after 1 month and 15, after 1 month and a week, you can go and marry another person. While some can stay 3 months without seeing without seeing blood. You understand? They can stay 3 months. So for them, they have to stay like 9 months before they will be considered ready to get another married. You understand? But for those who have reached menopause and they are not seeing any blood, so for them, they will just stay for a year. Or some, they say they can stay for 3 months because they have already aged. They are not seeing, because the essence is not to take another person pregnancy. That's why the ayah even continue by saying yatarabbasna bi amsin arba'ata salasata quru wa la yahillu lahunna an yaktumna ma khalaqa Allah fi arhamihinna in kunna yu'minna billahi wal yawmil akhir. It is not allowed for them, it is not legal for them to hide what Allah has created in their womb, just because of the hatred and misunderstanding they got, because she is angry with the divorce. Then she will say, even this child that I'm carrying just a month after, I'm going to take it to another person. No, she should not do that. She should not hide what Allah has created in her womb, and she should not take someone's child to another family. So that's the essence. So for those that are aged, so they will just stay 3 months or the likes or a year, then they will get married. So this will, by just this, will understand that the benefit and importance of this menstrual blood concerning Islam, concerning our religion, will never be overemphasized. And it also help in our health because of the change of blood. Usually this menstrual blood is the flow of blood and washing away of the unfertilized egg. We've already know that. So usually you should experience this so that another person's egg will not interact with another person's egg, and that might cause you, the woman, some harm and health complications. So all these are channeled towards your health, what towards giving you a better health concerning your physical and psychological well-being. So please, it's better, because it's not everything we can find we can see due to the time limit. But by asking question, maybe you've seen something or a particular habit different from what you understand, or is trying to confuse you, especially that this seizure of blood and paying back the salah that is within the time limit of your seizure. So please, we should try and get it right and continue asking our malam and our sheikh to guide us more, and we ask Allah to benefit us with all what we've heard, and to forgive all our sin and that of our predecessors. This is where we stop. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdi. نشهد أن لا إله إلا هو أستغفرك وأتوب إليه سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.